I have been waiting for 10 years to have a first conference, and you know, you have to wait while God says yeah. You know, and this is the right time. Praise God. And we've been blessed, encouraged and strengthened, and you know, we just only got on the first run of the ladder. We're beginning to, you know, we're going higher today. Praise God. Amen. So we're going to just praise and worship for a few moments together, just to loosen your voices, get your limbs loosened. Praise God. Shake about, you know.
Amen.
Remember, this is your right arm, you know, this one. Okay. Glory to God. But you know, last night I saw something happening, and I said, Lord, this is where every one of us needs to be. And this is what we've been trying to impress upon the folk and teach our people, that when we go outside, that we've got that same anointing, we've got the same abilities, and that we can reach lives and affect lives and change them and show them that Jesus is a reality and a truth, and that the kingdom of God is real, and that there is power in the kingdom. And we're not talking about attending churches, but we're talking about living a lifestyle in Christ. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We need to move into the Word. We can have some more testimonies later. And I believe it's, if my list's correct, it must be Sammy this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, we welcome the Christ in Sammy. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Into a realm of life that I've desired for thee all this time. It is a time for you to walk as I've called. It is a time for deaf ears to be opened, to walk in life and pursue happiness and peace in me. If you can hear what the Spirit says in this day and this time, it is time for you to walk. Open your hearts unto me, and you shall have the desires that I shall put in there, and no one else. Thus saith the Lord.
Walking in life, hallelujah. Walking in life. Exalt his name. Just give him praise. Just give him praise. Just give him praise. Hallelujah. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Just give him praise. Exalt his name. Exalt his name together.
While we was worshiping and praising the Lord, the scripture come to me where Jesus was passing by. And I believe all this we have to do this morning is just reach out and get whatever we desire or whatever we need, because he's passing by this morning. I just feel it. So I just feel him so real this morning that all we need to do is just reach out and get what we need.
Amen.
Can I just share an experience? I know many of our folk have heard me share this many times, but that chorus, that last song we sang, Worship His Majesty, I remember being in a tent campaign, Assemblies of God, believe it or not, and they had this round tent. There were 4,500 people there, and we were singing Worship His Majesty, and we were stood, Grace and I were stood up somewhere on a high area on a balcony. Platform was on the right hand side of us, the entrance was on the left, and there was a middle aisle. And as we sang Worship His Majesty, I suddenly saw, in an open vision, a man walk in a white robe. And I watched him walk down the centre aisle. And I followed him all the way down. And I watched him walk up onto the platform. And there was an empty seat on the platform. And I watched him and I saw him go and sit in that seat. And I thought, he's here. He's here. And you know, I've got a quiet voice. So how do you tell 4,000 people that Jesus has just walked in amongst you? You know? And I'm like, God, you're going to have to tell these people. And then suddenly one of the ministers on the platform stood up and said, the Lord is here amongst you. And I went, yeah. And I know where he's sitting, you know? I mean, it's like, I know where he's seated, sort of thing. And I thought, if you only knew, and he said, he's seated amongst us. And I thought, yeah, he sat right behind you. He's taken his rightful place. He's enthroned. He's on that platform there. Now, will you please listen to him? You know. And I remember seeing that, and I had to keep that quiet for a long time. Because people think, well, you know. But I saw Jesus walking. I'll never forget that sight. You know, I saw him walk past people, and you know, there were some people he walked by and they never knew he passed them by. They didn't reach out. You know, I could have leapt off from way up there. You know, that's the way I felt, what I saw. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Good morning, everybody. I'd just like to say that I love y'all. I felt a kindred here, a true kindred. I mean, there's a big pond that separates us, but I feel like that we're neighbors and brothers and sisters in the Lord. The Lord has shared with me something. Hold on, let me look at it. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And this is something the Lord has shown me that's helped me. Because a lot of times I find myself imagining things that just aren't there. Like, I'll be thinking about something that happened a long time ago. And I'll be thinking about what I should have done, you know. And what I should have done isn't right in the Lord's eyes. I know, and what I'm thinking isn't right. But this: for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And what the Lord showed me is, when we have that thought in our head, no matter what it is, if it's a thought of us drinking, if it's a thought of us doing drugs, doing a line, or if it's a thought, whatever it is that keeps us from the Spirit of Christ, take that thought and capture it. Okay? A lot of times we want to take that thought and put it behind us, you know, and try to cast it out of our mind. But what it says here, it says, bring it into captivity, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. So what I do is I take that thought and I don't cast it out. I picture it and I bring it unto captivity of Christ, and I imagine, you know, if it's me drinking or me doing whatever that's keeping me from the love of Christ, I take that imagination and I make it kneel to God. I make it pray to Christ and bring that thought under subjection. I don't cast it out. I bring it under subjection. And that's what's helped me tremendously. And I just thought I'd share that with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Over the last few weeks, the Lord's been giving me a message about the measuring sticks. And I woke up one morning with this word and this concept about the measuring sticks. And what I realised is that there's different Christians, and I don't know whether it's the same in America, I suppose it is, but, you know, we have these different measures. And it could be, well, if you've not been baptised in the name of Jesus, or if you don't believe the same as us, if you don't do this, if you don't do that. And the Lord showed me that this was the cause of all the divisions in the church, the measuring sticks. And he showed me that we shouldn't measure by the different. I mean, okay, we've got a belief that we believe in Jesus, we believe in the Trinity, there's certain things that are necessary that we believe in. But there's so many different things that we can exalt and say, well, that's the measuring stick. But he said, no, the measuring stick is the fruits. That's the measuring stick. Have they got love? Have they got joy? Have they got peace? Have they got humility? And I want to say that I didn't know what was going to happen in this conference, but what I've seen is a lot of Joshuas and Calebs coming with the fruit of the kingdom, and it's been absolutely wonderful. You know, I know you come over from America, but it's because it's the kingdom that you're bringing to us. Not America, it's the kingdom of God. And, you know, and this is what I've seen, the Joshuas and the Calebs, you know, that you're all them, and it's been wonderful. And yesterday, it's like a haven. It's been like heaven here. I came here yesterday morning, and there was so much peace and joy, and I was just swimming in it. It was beautiful. And I had to go back in the afternoon, and I just didn't want to leave it. It was like I was a goldfish in this wonderful bowl, you know. And I had to go out and out of it again. And I understand what you're saying is that I need to bring this kingdom into my environment. Yes. And I haven't learned that yet. I want to learn how to bring this into where I live. Because, you know, I mean, you're on the edge of Doncaster, and I don't know how much you know. I think Americans probably know more about England than we know ourselves. And Doncaster is like the heart of England, and it's a very, very dark place spiritually. It's called the abortion centre of the north. There's all sorts happening in Doncaster. We've got prostitutes, you know, drug addicts and homeless. I mean, you can go through Doncaster, you see the homeless all over the place. And it is one of the darkest places, and I do believe it's because of the history of this place. I feel the Lord's given me the opportunity to study over the last few years. He took me back into education, which I really didn't think it would suit me, but the Lord showed me so much about Doncaster, about the history of Doncaster, because we're on the very main road that came right from Scotland down to London, the main Roman road. And I mean, Doncaster was made up of gates. That probably suggests it was a walled city. And people would, the battles, when the actual Catholic Church, when the whole division started, a lot of one of the main battles was in Doncaster. So there's a lot of history here, and there's a lot of darkness. And sometimes I just envy you over there. If God could just take me out and bring me over there and let me just worship in freedom, because it is a dark place here. So, you know, I just want to read this scripture because there's so much division. I mean, I don't know what it's like in America, but, you know, you go around Doncaster and there's a church on every street corner, you know, and they're all divided. And I can't see how we're going to get revival until we're one. Because, like, we say that, you know, like, like the body of Christ is made up of a heart, it's made up of lungs, and we're all important.
Yes,
you know, like the house, there's going to be carpenters, there's going to be bricklayers, but unless the house comes to, that the people come together to build this house for when revival does come and the lost are getting saved. And, you know, I just feel that this is what we need, what you're bringing. We need to bring this kingdom, this oneness, the fruits of the kingdom into Doncaster. So I'm reading from John 17:20, and it's, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me.
Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, James and I were talking, you know, it's looking in the mirror. And it's looking in the mirror and saying, who do you see? It's not yourself and your sinful nature, but you see Christ. The Christ in you, the hope of glory, the fact that, you know, you're walking, you know, in Christ, you are Christ, and God's blessing you mightily. Hallelujah. It's a good word.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Glory to God. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Anybody got something they want to share? I knew you would. I was going to ask you, but I was going to be ever so kind to you, you know. Well, okay.
I don't have much to say. I just want to say, I've said it to Colleen and to Grace, I'm pretty overwhelmed. Amen. Just to be here. Really overwhelmed, not pretty overwhelmed. And it's been a firsthand interpretation, I guess, of the scripture that we always hear quoted so glibly a lot of times in the 24th Psalm, the first verse, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And it's really been a heart-moving experience to be with people, God's family, from all over the world. It's a big world, but yet it's small.
Yeah.
And it's all in His hands. I was thinking yesterday, there were several people who mentioned the word processing. I think Grace mentioned it, and Fred talked about it, the purging. And as I've enjoyed these gardens out here, I've thought about what it takes to maintain that beauty.
Yes.
And at home, we have this one plant that we've chosen not to do anything with right now, but it has these long, gangly stems. I mean, there's a nice bush kind of here, but there are several stems that are just kind of flopping over. It doesn't look very good right now. And I thought, you know, when you clip back things that are out of shape or things that are out of balance, then the growth hormone can surge.
Yeah.
And the beauty comes because there's new life that flushes out.
Amen.
And I just see that happening here.
Yeah.
And in my life. Amen. And I'm blessed to be here.
Hallelujah.
Now the new lady. Yeah, I know you're wonderful. You look wonderful. Would you like to share with us some things this morning? I know it's putting you on the spot, but you know, GC does it all the time. I know he's done it to you. So, would you like to do that this morning? Let's give Eleanor a welcome.
It has just been such a blessing to me to be here and to, you know, just to meet the Lord's people. You find that they're just everywhere, and I see these children and young people, and it's just been such a blessing to me. And these teenagers, or I want to call them teenagers. I think they're past teenagers. They'll stand up and you know, and not be afraid to say, I know the Lord. And that is wonderful. There's a lot happened in my life in these 70 years that I've lived, soon be 71. I give my testimony at Brother McCurry's church, but I feel maybe that's what the Lord would have me share a little bit here. My husband, I began to see, we were raised in the Baptist church, and I began to see that and, you know, study and read, and the Lord began to show me that there was more than what I had ever seen. And I didn't try to push it on him. He was a teacher and a deacon and elder there in the Baptist church, and I worked with the children, and we were just, that's where I grew up. There's a big window in the church that's in memory of my parents. And the Lord just began to show me that there was more.
Yes.
And so I'd read books, and I'd just lay them down by his chair, and he began to pick them up, and I just asked the Lord, you know, show it to him too. But then that's what the Lord did. The Lord began to show it to him.
Amen.
And I was just seeing the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the faith, you know, teaching, and that sounded so great to me. I was all excited about that. But one day he said to me, he said, the Lord says we're not to stop there. There's more than that.
Yeah.
And but you know, I did not believe there. I got too excited about being there. So, but he began. The Lord just opened up the scriptures to him in such a wonderful way, and he was. It got more excited about it, and tried to share it in that Baptist church where we were at, and that didn't work. And then the Lord the preacher would when he was an evangelist, and he would be away a lot, and he'd always ask him, you know, to be in charge of service, and he did. But one night he was sitting there, and they said, you know, you've gone too deep. You've got to come back down here where we are. We can't understand what you're saying. And he says, I can't go back.
Amen.
And then when he finished that night, the Lord said, don't cast your pearl before swine. So he knew then it was time for him to leave. But the Lord hadn't told me to leave. So I kept working with the kids for several months. But then one day I had a dream. And the Lord showed me this table. We used to, before we built the fellowship hall at the Baptist church, we had this long table that we called them dinner on the ground. Everybody brought a dish, and we just filled up this table. And the Lord showed me this table, and it was every bit of food on it. It could be on it. But it was all spoiled. It was smoking. It was so spoiled. And I, in my dream, I said, Lord, what does all this spoiled food mean? And he said, old bread. It was old bread. And then I knew what he was saying. And then one morning I was in the bathroom brushing my teeth, and he said, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. And I knew then what the Lord was saying. It was time for me. So we did, and I thought, you know, me growing up there in that church, that it would be hard. And I love the people there, and I thank God for the Baptist church. They taught me salvation. They taught me to, abstain from the things that were not good for you.
Yes.
And I thank God for that.
Yes.
But then I thank God so much for showing me where I'm at today.
Yes.
And how I've seen what the Lord has done in my life. My husband had always been a healthy person, and we came out, and at the time the Lord, before I get into that, but the time the Lord was dealing with us, we didn't realize that he was dealing with other people too in the church. We had one lady in there that said she'd go home, leave the church and go home every Sunday crying. There was something wrong. She knew that she felt like she was in a pot with a lid on it. But one day the Lord was dealing with them, and the Lord just drew us all out at one time. So we started this church, and the Lord gave us the name Shepherd Assembly. It was three people got the same name at the same time, and it's just all fell in place.
Hallelujah.
We don't have a large group, but we have a good bunch that pulls together, and it's wonderful to see what the Lord's done. And early '96, the spring of '96, my husband started getting sick, and we didn't know what the problem was. We kept going from doctor to doctor, and one was giving one medicine for this and that and other, but they finally wound up finding he had cancer. And they sent us to the, told him, you know, recommended surgery. So he went and had surgery, and he came through the surgery. But they'd had him on a lot of medication before to shrink the tumor before they operated on him. And when he come through the surgery, and I brought him home, and he kept telling me, he said, he was in surgery for like 5 hours, and he kept telling me, I can't get my mind focused ever since they put me to sleep. And to make a long story short, we had been home one day from the hospital, and he had went and lay down on his bed, and my sister had come over, and I was, we were sitting there talking in the dining room, and we heard this noise. And I thought he had come home with a catheter and everything. And I it sounded to me like that a toilet lid had fell. And so I got up and run to see about him, and I thought maybe he was trying to empty his catheter bag. And I saw him laying there on the bed with blood on his forehead. And I couldn't figure out what is, you know, has happened. So I grabbed up a shirt he'd laid there, and I wiped off his straw head, and I saw this little small hole in his forehead. And then I looked down at his hands, and I realized he had a little gun that he killed snakes around on the farm there, where he grew vegetables and gave them to everybody that would have them. And he had killed himself. And I called my sister and told her to call 911, and she did, but she didn't know my address. Everybody got new addresses when 911 set up. So I went to the telephone, and I took the telephone. I told them where we were at and what had happened. Then I called my in-laws, because my children were working, and told them to tell the children to come home. And when the rescue squads and all this stuff came, and the law, of course, when something like that happens, that's what takes place. And they asked me all these questions, and I was able to sit there and answer all those questions. And I didn't realize till after all of that was over, you know, we had been married 48 years. He was a good husband, good father, and a good pastor, protected his church family like he did our children. And he had helped me raise two of my nephews that my brother and his wife separated, and they had two young boys. So we had taken them in our home, and he'd helped raise them just like our own children. But then I realized that I had this strength that I didn't know, realize that I had.
Yes.
And the Lord just instantly healed me of old grief. Yes. And it was a miracle that had happened in my life.
Yes.
And I know that it's God that had healed my heart, you know. He had told me a long time before that if something happens to me, you know, have me cremated. And you know, he was a plain person that didn't want no frills or nothing. But we had a memorial service for him, and Brother McCurry came, and Brother Kelly Varner, and some other ministers that we knew, and we had like a celebration.
Amen.
And we just praised the Lord, and the Lord, though, that night when I went to bed, I couldn't sleep, because, you know, you're thinking all this stuff, but the Lord said, get up and read Habakkuk, the third chapter, the 17th through the 18th something verse there. He said, even though the fig trees don't blossom, and if there's no fruit left on the vine, and if there's no cows in the stall, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And it goes on to say of how your strength will be renewed, and I knew then that was for me. So I have it in my... I've carried the copy of it around ever since, and I had it in my pocket when we were having the service, and the Lord kept saying, you're supposed to share that. So I just sit there, and I said, well, Lord, if that's what I'm supposed to do, you have to, you know, make the time. So Sammy was going to close out the service with a prayer and a few words, and so the Lord said, now's the time. So I told Sammy I had to share and do what the... And I got up there and read what the Lord had given me and told them, you know, I said, that's the reason. Because people were absolutely astonished. They didn't know what was going on. They thought we'd gone crazy. I had one nephew that said he didn't like that service at all. I said, that's all right. I said, that's your privilege. I said, but if it's the Lord's will for me to go to the way of the grave, I hope it's wilder than this. It's time for jubilee. It's time for celebration.
Yeah.
And Sister McCurry got up. I've got the tape of the service. And she got up and she told them, she said, I know that you all are not understanding how this family has took this and why this is like this. But she said, this is the way kingdom's people are supposed to be.
Yeah.
And she brought a good word there in just a few minutes. And it was very rewarding. But it was, I've been looked at strange ever since. People still don't understand how I can. But I'm telling you, the Lord can heal you. You don't have to sit in condemnation. You don't have to sit in grief. The Lord can satisfy and heal the broken heart. And He's in that business. And I can't thank Him enough. But I've had a lot of people come to me and say, where was that scripture at? The Lord said there was some people there that day that needed that word. So they must have been, because the Lord said give it to them. So that's what I did. And I just can't thank Him enough for all that He's done in my life and what He's going to do. I'm just excited about it. And the more I mingle with the Lord's people, the more built up I get, the strength that I draw.
Amen.
You know, it's just wonderful to be with the Lord's people wherever. And it's just so exciting to find them all over the world.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you for that. It's an encouragement. It's a strengthening. And, you know, we need to know that. We need to be encouraged in those realms, don't we? Praise God. God is good. Thank you for that. Thank you ever so much. We're going to break for lunch. And this time yet before lunch, you can fellowship together and share together. And just enjoy the family.
Amen.
It's good to see my friend Keith. Praise God. He's come all the way. He's come about, how far is it? 60 miles today, just to be with us for a couple of meetings, bless him. And you know, he's got a dash back later on, and God's just brought us together, and he's one of the kingdom people. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah, we love him. And he ministers for us, and we thank God for him. And so I trust him. You know, he's not going to have a lot of time, so bombard him and bless him. Hallelujah. In fact, come on, come out of here. Come on. Come out of here.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise your name, Lord.
I want you to come and you to come and pray with him. Because something that you've said today, what you've said today affects this man's life. This man has gone through some things. His own son committed suicide. And we didn't know, and God brought us back together. And has brought us into strong fellowship. And I believe you brought a word for this man today. And I've not heard your testimony. Never heard it. You brought a word for this man today. Now I want some of you guys to come and with our sister and lay hands on him. And let God do that work.
The Lord, after my husband died, the Lord told me, I didn't understand why all this had happened. And he told me that he was in control all the time. That's what he's told me. He said I was in control. He's never told me why, and I never asked him why. But he was a preacher and he killed himself, you know. But after that happened, I had a black brother pastor that his wife had died, and the Lord spoke to me one day at a meeting, and he said, you go impart to him what I imparted to you. So today the Lord wants me to impart to you what he imparted to me. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I impart to this brother exactly what you imparted to me. And I thank you for healing the hurt. I thank you for restoring. I thank you for taking away the grief right now in the name of Jesus. And I just impart that to him. Imparted to me. Because you're in control. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do right now in his life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Glory. Thank you, Father. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, brother. We love
you. You know, the word of the Lord said, some people don't believe if you commit suicide, you'll be saved. But Samson is put in the hall of fame. And the word said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Shall death? And he didn't say what kind. It said nothing. Nothing separates you from the love of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything is well.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, one thing we did ask, you know, there's always that question. In there. You see, he didn't know the Lord. And, there's that doubt comes, the giants come. We just said, you know, to God, what about Andrew? And he just simply says, well, I answer your prayers. Just believe that I answer your prayers. And he does, you know. And, you know, since then I've looked, you know, Adam committed suicide. He gave away. He took his own life. He gave it away.
Yes,
amen. But yet, I believe that he's in heaven.
He's promised you
your seed. Yes. Amen. Amen.
He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And in the last breath, you know, everybody's going to call on the Lord.
Yes.
And if you call on the Lord, you're saved.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Well, give your names for the tapes. Yeah, give your names for the tapes. By the way, the tapes will be free. So we've got a five-tape copier here. So just tell us what you want, and we'll rattle these tapes off for you like nobody's business. 2 o'clock, we leave the the buses will be leaving to go to Epworth, where John Wesley and his family, and where he preached on his father's grave. So you're welcome to come and go with us there. Okay? Glory to God. You're dismissed.